Thank you. churches all the people, Father, for songs of worship, songs that would get us in a sphere of prayer. Oh God, give us your mercy as we are worshiping and adoring you. We want you to come down and meet with every need, Lord. Meet even now with us in fellowship in the song worship, oh God, that Lord, our hearts may be open to your word. And Lord, when we utter words of prayer unto thee, it would be the word that would be planted deep in our hearts. We bless your name, we praise your name, we love you. Come down now, Father, and meet with every need, Lord. That we, Lord Father, may Lord Father give glory when we part from here. We may continue to worship thee throughout the night and throughout the weekend. Bless the minister, give him unction, we pray, that he would meet every need that Lord Father is within these gates. We ask in your grace, bless the souls that have traveled. Bless Lord Father, keep us now as we sing, only believe. We believe, Lord Father, that you are with us and you will never forsake us and you desire to take us to a higher height. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of God. Blessed assurance. Thank you. of God, keep me, the love of God, how great, how rich and pure, the love of God.
Thank you.
Singing the same song, but one day we'll sing in eternity. Let's sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. The joy I feel, the bliss I share, to meet with the saints there in the sweet hour of prayer. Amen.
Thanks, God bless you richly for that. Good evening, saints. It's good to be in this house. It's good to come to fellowship around the world. Doesn't matter about the weather. Doesn't matter about whatever else it is. It's always good to come to gather as a people, to gather around the cross. This is Dr. Victor, Tandy, Sister Monica's daughter. God bless you, and welcome to the house of the Lord tonight. God bless you, Richard. And then also from Brother Daniel, Brother Daniel wants to thank the Lord for the last 2 years has allowed him to stay in Ireland for the trials and the blessings. He'll be moving back to Lithuania on Sunday. So God bless you richly. God bless you, brother. May the Lord bless you. Amen. It's a season of change. May the Lord bless you and guide you, brother. Let's open up Luke chapter 1. I know there's a prayer meeting, but I don't really think we should have too much prayer meeting today. With, you know, maybe we can have some prayer later, but I thought we'll take a thought on Christmas to get in the Word a little bit first. Luke chapter 1, a very familiar Christmas reading, but maybe I'll take it in a slightly different way. Luke 1 from verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is what our context will read down to verse 35, and then we'll take our seats. Luke 1 from 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, we bring your word back unto you to pray that you break it unto us. Lord, you alone can break it. How many times the prophet said, Lord, that we can open up the pages of the Bible. But you have to open the word to us. It's beyond flesh and blood. But blessed are we, Father, when these things are revealed unto us. So, Lord, we come to yield ourselves unto thee, both the speaker and the hearers, upon this night, just wanting your will to be done. Father, do you want to pray this night for the visit in our gates that you bless her? Our brother Daniel as we travel on Sunday, that Father, Lord, to open the doors to him and lead him and guide him at this time inside of his life, Lord. Father, bless him, we pray. Bless his family, his mother, his father. Guide him and lead him, Lord. We ask as we commit him into your hands. Bless us now. Bless them that are scattered round to the north, south, east, and west. We do commit them into your hands. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's consider. Let's take our Bibles just back to the beginning of that story and take a few thoughts. If you had to give it a title this evening, you'll take it when the angel came down and said in verse 35, the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And I mean, that's what you speak about overshadowed. And this is how Christmas came forth. Now, there never would have been a Christmas if it wasn't for this happening first. So this was 9 months before Christmas came. There had to be a conception, first of all, that the Word had to come into Mary in order for the Word to be born. And so it's showing us now the process of this. And it starts off in verse 26. When it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee and Nazareth. So there was a very specific sending that took place. There was an angel, there was an anointed messenger that was sent with a commission. And he was sent very specifically to somebody. He was sent to the Virgin, to the Virgin Mary. And he went to her because there was something that needed to be fulfilled. There was a portion of the word, there was scripture that had been waiting. It came from the days when Isaiah and the different prophets had prophesied. The scripture had been waiting, had been hanging for 714 years from the time of Isaiah about a virgin conceived. And I've been waiting for the right person at the right place in the right time. For the Lord's appointed time to come. And then the promise now coming into the season that needed to be fulfilled, it couldn't just fulfill itself. Now, there wasn't sufficient yet in the story for the Word to be able to fulfill itself, because obviously there's got to be a preparation first. Now we have to be prepared. Yes, she was predestined, that the Word had been given forth concerning her, but there had to be a preparation. There had to be a certain something the Lord had to do for her. And that started off when the angel was sent, when Gabriel came to her. An angel from the presence of Almighty God. So he came freshly anointed from the throne, from the presence of Almighty God. And he came with a very specific message. You know, his message wasn't to come and explain everything in the Bible to her. He didn't come to answer all of the questions. But I came with a very specific purpose, and that was to minister something into the life of Mary. And so something could take place in the life of Mary. And so it tells us, her name was Mary, and she was espoused to Joseph of the house of David. And so she had the right genealogy. You know, she had the right background, if you wanted to say it like that. She had the right mechanics that were all there in place, but she wasn't yet prepared to bring forth the promise. So the angel came to verse 28 and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women." So she was favored of God, she was highly favored. And the thing I really like about the story at that point, she was far more favored by God than she realized. And she didn't realize how favored she was before the Lord. Because the angel of Gideon, when the angel came down and said, "That mighty man of valor," he says, "The mighty man of valor, and he says, go on with your might." You know? So in the way the Lord looks at people is very different than the way that we look at ourselves many times. And for us to see things the way that the Lord sees things, someone's got to minister us to that. God has got to send something forth. There's got to come the angel now from the presence of God. So she starts to see things the way that God sees things. And she doesn't look down anymore, just maybe being her, you know, her poor state and the poor background that she's got. But this angel starts to speak to her. And when he speaks to her now, she's troubled in her heart. And obviously she's going to be, she must have been feared, she's troubled. She's not expecting this. What does this mean? Though the Lord's been speaking to her, preparing her for this visitation. But when the angel comes now, she's got this something going on inside of her mind. What does this mean? How can this apply? What is he trying to say to me? And the angel said in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor." Which is literally there, it's grace with God. It's the first time you find the word grace in the New Testament. You have found grace with God. Just as much as in the Old Testament, the first time you find the word grace is Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Notice you can see it's very significant. God is extending grace to her. God is learning that she's found grace, she's found favor in the eyes of God. And now the angel starts to explain exactly what his purpose is. And starts to explain exactly what she's going to go through. He says, "And thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." So she's going to great things. She's going to bring forth Emmanuel. She's going to bring forth God with us. She's going to bring forth Jesus. And says in verse 32, "She shall be great." Now when John the Baptist was born, and just previous in the chapter, when Gabriel came to Zechariah, said, "John shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Now, so this was a time of great things. God is a great prophet, great in the sight of the Lord, John, the spirit of Elijah coming forth. And even greater than him, because John is great in the sight of the Lord. But when the angel says to Mary about what she's going to bring forth, there's no qualification at all. She just says, "He will be great."
Amen.
That's just unqualified. He's great. And so if you think about today, if you are a spirit-filled believer, if you're really born again in the kingdom of God, the one that's inside of you is great. He's great without qualification.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, because the Word is in the Bible just as it was in Mary. We know that.
Amen.
But this is such a type and a pattern. And today, as you sit there, If you've really been born again and the eternal Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you, you have something inside of you that is so great. And my church is going to see, he's going to start revealing to her that something's going to happen inside of you. You're going to conceive, and that something that's going to be in you is so great. You don't realize how great that it is what's going to be in your womb. The potential of this. Jesus, you shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So that which she conceives that she's bearing inside of herself is ordained right to the throne. But this wasn't something light that was taking place inside of her. Verse 33, and he shall reign. Ah, friends, that's powerful. It's so powerful to you because you don't realize what's in you. Because the Bible says, great is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And that's something that the Lord has done in you as a genuine believer. It's great. The very thing that's going to take you to the throne is in you. It's already in you.
Amen.
Because you've conceived the same as Mary had to conceive. In order for her to bring forth the promise, to bring forth Christmas, which has to bring forth the word in her age, she had to first be ministered to realize, to come to a certain place to realize, you have great favor with God. Now, you have grace in the eyes of God. Because God is going to do something, place something inside of you, which is so great that you don't even know what it is. And that something inside of you is going to go all the way to the throne. It's not going to end. And this is what he says there. He says in verse 23, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, I want to look at the meaning of that he shall reign. That's what to reign in the Bible means, to exercise supreme authority. So she's being told there's something inside of you that as that thing brings forth, it is going to exercise supreme authority. There's no greater authority in Mary than this that's in you. And if we can just allow the process to come to Christmas, because it's going to be a process to bring it to the time of bringing forth. And don't forget, just at the time when Jesus broke forth, what happened? There came persecution. Straight after the birth of Jesus, Herod now came and broke the persecution to come and destroy the children. So you can really see where things lead up to. But when he says, he shall reign, it means to exercise supreme authority at a royal level. Yeah, and that's the supreme authority of the word that's in the Bible. If you are really born again tonight, you have supreme authority in you. Just as much as in the prophet said to Billy Paul, said Billy Paul, the Holy Ghost said to you, it will fix those problems at home if you allow that Holy Ghost you to express himself. But many times you don't allow it to express itself. The supreme authority is in us. There's something in us that is of a kingdom that will never end. It's already in us because we're in the kingdom. The kingdom is in us. But it's just going through the process like Mary had to. And to allow now that word to become flesh. And that word to express itself at the point in time. That's what the angel came now to minister her to. That was the purpose that Gabriel was sent. So that she could bring forth. So she could bring forth the Lord himself, who is already predestined to dwell in her. Man, it's quite a thing to think about. Especially his kingdom shall have no end. He shall reign. He is destined to the throne. So that work that the Lord is doing in you, that work of the new birth, that work of sending forth an angel, an anointed angel from his presence in our age. We are the seventh angel. Yeah? That one there bringing forth the things that he's built of the resources that God has released in this season upon his bride, the same as he released upon Mary at her age, so she could conceive and bring forth. That work has started something in you that is destined for the throne. Nothing's going to stop that work in you if you're really born again from hitting the throne. Just as much as when she conceived, nothing was going to stop the process. The process had already started for the one to be born who was going to be seated on the throne. And so there's something inside of the bride, friends, that is absolutely eternal, that is very powerful, and there's great grace and favor from the bride. Many times that we don't realize, because we just look at our own circumstances, just like Mary's looking at her circumstances and saying, but I'm poor, and who am I, and all these kind of things. But God doesn't look on the outside. God looks upon the inside. And that's why Mary asks and says in verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be? Now, you're giving me all these great promises. How can these things be fulfilled? She's not doubting. But she just says, please explain to me, how is this going to be? Because naturally speaking, I don't see how this is going to come to pass. Seeing though I know not a man. You see, you're telling me I'm going to conceive, but I haven't known a man. You know, how is this going to be? And the angel says to her, verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Friends, that's the process. The Holy Ghost has to come upon you. And the power of the Most High must come and overshadow you. My. When it says the power of the highest shall overshadow you, that's dunamis now. That's the dunamis power of God. Dunamis power is achieving power. It's the power that God releases to get things done. When God has a purpose that He wants to be fulfilled, He releases dunamis power. He overshadows those that are to fulfill the promise of His dunamis power. And that power gives them now the inherent ability to bring forth what God wants them to bring forth. Just as much as Samson. Samson was just as helpless as Mary without the dunamis power. There was nothing that Samson in himself could do to fulfill his Nazarite vow. He was just a man. But he was a man born for a purpose. He was a man born under a Nazarite vow, under a specific commission. He was a special vessel. Therefore, the Lord said to his parents, don't worry, just keep him away from eating grapes and drinking wine and all those kind of things and touching unclean things. Don't touch his hair, he's a Nazarite. Keep him separate. Don't let him disqualify himself through defiling himself. And as long as he keeps himself separate, let us wait and see what's going to happen whenever the enemy comes near him. There's going to be a power that he has an access to that allows him to do things now that other people can't do. And that power went together with the commission. And this angel Gabriel came down to commission Mary. This was her commission. She was to conceive and bring forth this kingdom that had no end. This king and the kingdom that had great supreme authority. There is no greater authority than that which was in Mary. When she conceived, when this dunamis power now came like a cloud and overshadowed her, when she said to the angel, be it unto me according to your word, immediately she was overshadowed. And when she was overshadowed, now she conceived and she brought forth. And then there was no more need for the angel. There's no more need for the angel because the message had been delivered, the bride had conceived. Now the process is going to take care of itself. And that's how the prophet finishes his course, and the Lord takes him back to his rest.
Amen.
Not to say we don't need the message anymore. Of course we do. But we need to be continually ministered in that way. But it just shows, you know, that once the bride, once they claim that the prophet preached an invisible union, but once the bride was overshadowed and there was an invisible union, something took place inside of the womb of the bride, which the denominations couldn't touch. But the womb was shut under the denomination. But then when the seed word, the original seed came, and was now planted inside of the bride, and the bride said, be it unto me according to your word. Friends, we're in a process now.
Amen.
And this process brings about the fullness of authority. It brings about the fullness of the kingdom that has no end. It brings about the throne. There's an everlasting kingdom that says it's an everlasting dominion. Friends, what a privilege it is at a Christmas time to have that dwelling inside of your soul. If you do that, my friends, I feel sorry for you. But as for me, I know that dwelling inside of me, inside of myself, something came and overshadowed me.
Amen.
There was something supernatural that came and did something inside of me.
Amen.
And changed me from death unto life.
Right.
Something has come inside of me that only hungers and thirsts for one thing, and that's the message of the hour.
Amen.
Nothing else satisfies it. Nothing else, not riches, not honor, not fame, not a big, all those big things the world would want to offer you. As good as those things are, in their own context, nothing wrong with those things. But there's only one thing that has satisfied that soul that has been born in the kingdom, and that is the ministration of the kingdom. That is to continually come into that same place that it was born, to be overshadowed once again by the very thing that overshadowed it in the beginning, so that there was a conception. And that's how we need, friends, at the Christmas time to remember how the things begin.
That's right.
That there's that supernatural something that has to take place in the soul of a person that is predestined by God. And God has shown you, shows you his favor how? By sending that grace to you in the form of his word to show what he thinks about you and to show the desire that he desires to fulfill inside of your life. So this dunamis power, this achieving power, dunamis, the power in Greek, means the power or ability to carry out some function. And that's why Jesus said to the disciples, you're going to be my witnesses, but you can't do it yourself.
Yes,
right. You need to go and tarry in the upper room, and then you need to be overshadowed.
Amen.
And the power of the Most High, the Holy Ghost, will come and overshadow you.
Amen.
And then the dunamis, the power to be able to perform what you're supposed to perform, will be given to you at that time. And the Holy Ghost came immediately. Now there was a change. And they went and started to fulfill all that was written of them, to be witnesses of him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But you can see that power is given for a purpose. Sometimes people are just wanting power. They don't say, why do you want the power? Sometimes people want to use it for themselves. They want to use the power to make a great name for themselves. But the bride says, isn't interested in that.
Amen.
They want the power to fulfill what is written of them. Now, we want the power. We want to be overshadowed in this place this evening. We want to draw near to him. We want the Lord to come with his Shekinah glory, the cloud of glory, to overshadow us, to quicken us so that we can fulfill more that is written of us.
Amen.
That's the whole purpose, surely, of us coming together whenever we gather his name. That's how the prophet is, the same one that sends you also goes in you. If the Lord's going to send something, he's going to have to give him the resources. Send the resources along with him to get the job done, because once he has his seven locks of hair shaved off by his compromise, he's as weak as any other man. He can't do anything. But when he's now under his commission, friends, and they're shutting him in Gaza at midnight, what does he do? This person takes the gates of Gaza, a type of Christ.
Amen.
And they thought that in hanging him on the cross, all he did, he just took the gates of hell and of death.
Amen.
He just rose triumphant on the third day, and something took him right to the top of the hill and put them there so that all the people would see them. And so that you have no authority over me.
Amen.
You have no power over me. The only power you have over me is the power that's given unto you.
Amen.
Just as much as Jesus said. You know, so this is power now. The prophet also says, you know, well, all that Moses lacked was in the burning bush. He said, potentially he was the Exodus prophet until he met the burning bush. Then he tried to do it himself, and he found that he didn't have the power. He didn't have the resources. There he had the commission, there he had the predestination, he had the birth, he had the genealogy, all the mechanics were right for him to fulfill what he should fulfill. But what it took was to be overshadowed at the burning bush.
Yeah.
When the cloud of glory came down in the form of the pillar of fire in the bush, then Moses realized that, Lord, everything I've been looking for is in you.
Amen.
But this is no problem, Moses. I've come down for a specific purpose to commission you to fulfill a certain purpose. But you can't do it yourself. You can't open the Red Sea. You cannot bring plagues down upon Egypt. That was me in you. You can do it. Therefore, I'll go with you. And then Moses says, okay, I'll go. As long as you go with me, I'll go. And under his commission, now you find the Lord has sent him, but he had to be overshadowed like that. So Didymus is power that is required to fulfill the commission. That's how none of us will ever fulfill inside of our lives what you are doing to fulfill if it's just you. You can't. No matter your good intentions, you'll just end up burying one Egyptian in the sand. That's all you'll end up doing. You'll just get frustrated and disappointed and say, I never thought it was going to be like this. I never imagined, I thought my brothers were going to understand and they didn't understand. But the moment Moses goes into that atmosphere of the Shekinah now, when the Shekinah comes down and settles in that place, and there's that dim light, the glowing of the Shekinah within the burning bush, and Moses now comes, and that seed that's inside of him, that's predestined, all that's spoken of him from the days of Abraham, and everything which is potential inside of him, as soon as he's overshadowed and comes into that glory of the burning bush, the process is going to take care of itself.
Amen.
Those people are coming out of Egypt to show his glory. Nothing's going to stop those people coming out of Egypt now. But it needed a starting point like that. It needed that conception. You know, when I think of the prophet visiting, spoke about his original seed, he says, the true bride is going to be one. He says, well, she's predestinated. She's already predestined to take the place, like Mary. You see, she's just as predestined to bring forth the seed, the word of promise, as Mary was. He says, the word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. Our friends, that's a powerful thing. Mary was ordained to bring forth God himself made manifest. And all she had to do was just yield. All she had to do was bring herself under the headship. All she had to do was just to burn unto me. And then the Lord now came and overshadowed her. And brought her now to that place, and something took place inside of her, and life started to move inside of her. It didn't come overnight, but there was a process now that was in, that was started, that was conceived inside of her, that was going to bring forth something very, very powerful. The prophet says, God himself made manifest, he will act himself by his own word of promise, so as to fulfill what has been written of him. As he did when he came forth out of the virgin womb. So just as much as he performed the word that was written of him in that age, friends, there was a predestined vessel that needed to overshadow, that needed the Shekinah, the cloud, to come and overshadow her. Just as much as now there's a virgin bride. And all we need to bring ourselves in his presence. We need to lay in the presence of the Son. We need to be overshadowed so that the greenness is baked out and so that we start to understand the way that he understands and see things the way that he sees things and start to realize, like the prophet says, when the bride realizes who she is. Just as Mary had to fully understand, not intellectually, but in her soul, realize and recognize grace that was upon her. The divine, there was no one more favored than her in the land in that age. She was the most favored amongst women. And it wasn't because of any good that she had done. It was grace. It wasn't because she merited it. She was a better caliber of person. Yes, she was of the royal bloodline. She was of the tribe of Judah. But it wasn't that she was a better person. It was God's predestination. It was God's choice. And she was the one that was ordained. You know, when I think of overshadow, it makes me think of Ruth. Because in the book of Ruth, again, there was someone that was ordained, someone who was barren, but someone who was ordained to bring forth great things. She was to bring forth redemption. She was going to bring forth the very lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a very important part to play. Yeah, but when I was thinking about it, what was the secret of Ruth? One of the things that you could learn, firstly, just in the simplicity of looking at the life of Ruth, the first thing is Ruth stayed completely under headship. The first thing Ruth wanted to do was under Naomi's headship. She didn't try to think for herself. She said, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. Where you live, I want to live. Where you die, I want to die. No, wherever you are, let me just be there, because And the prophecy of Naomi represented the old covenant church, the laws, the old, the word. So that was the first thing that when she brings herself under Naomi. And the second thing, she comes to Boaz's field. You just can't see how obedient that she is. And she goes and she asks permission to glean. And then she's given instructions, first by the servant, then by Boaz himself, when she meets Boaz himself. And she does exactly what Boaz tells her to do. And he says, look, when you're thirsty, come, drink water. Yeah? Don't go to any other field. Just stay in this field. You have been predestined unto this field. You were supernaturally led to this place. Don't try to find, don't use your own understanding, your own reasoning. You can do it some other way. And the most amazing thing, in the most difficult of circumstances, when they were gleaning for life, as Brother George thinks about, she stayed under headship. And then when it came time now for her to come to full redemption, to come into oneness with the Redeemer himself, she listened exactly to what Noah and Naomi told her. That's the reason what she was told to do. To go and dress yourself up and go and lay your feet on the threshing floor. And go and tell him, cast your spirit upon me. That wasn't just a simple thing to do. No, there were so many, she might have thought of many better ways of doing it. But that was the amazing thing about Ruth. She just yielded herself. She never pushed the doors open. She never tried to do it her own way. She just yielded. And she stayed under that headship. And you can see the way the Lord really appreciated that inside of her. In Ruth chapter 2, that's Ruth chapter 2 verse 12, when she first meets up with Boaz, the Boaz comes to bless her and strengthen her because she's come to the right place. Yeah, so the process is starting now, but for her to come to full redemption, there's going to be a process here. She's in Bethlehem. She's in the house of God's bread. And not only that, she's in Boaz's field. She couldn't be in a better place, spiritually speaking. But outwardly, there were challenges to her. There were temptations, there were trials, there was need inside of her life. There were things she's going through that wasn't that easy. But she's in the right place. She's come to Bethlehem. And here is the word of the harvest of Boaz. She doesn't really realize yet the significance of this man inside of her life. But when she first meets up with him in chapter 2, verse 12. Let's look at verse 11. No, verse 10, when she humbles herself. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. That's Ruth 2, verse 10. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. That's humility. She's bowing to his headship. So this is the biggest problem in the lives of us as believers. It's about humbling ourselves and bowing ourselves down to the anointed word, to the word of promise, to really bring yourself practically under headship, not just in the theory, but really in the real decisions, the difficult things of life. To really humble ourselves and bow ourselves down. She bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Blessed art thou amongst women. You found favor. She doesn't understand. How have I found favor? Why is this showing this grace to me, this favor to me? There's so many other gleaners there. There's so many other responsibilities that he needs to look after, but his attention is upon me. So those are the times that make life worth living. And whenever you give him the opportunity, he'll finally put his attention upon you. And like we said before, when the Lord is fellowshipping with you, you feel like you're the only person in the world that he's fellowshipping with. Because that's his omnipotence. He can fellowship with so many people, and it's so personal to each of them that they feel he's giving them his full attention. He's the only one who can do that. Because he's omniscient. He can be giving you full attention and me full attention at the same time. But with Boaz, it wasn't possible. It was just to give full attention to her. And she's wondering, but why is he showing me this grace? Why is he showing me this favor? And she says, why have I found grace in mine eyes? But thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. I'm a Moabite. I'm a Gentile. I'm not even part of the covenant of Israel. but it was predestination. There was something deeper that was taking place and that she wasn't yet aware of. Also, when the Boaz answered and said unto her, what has fully been showed me? All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and have come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. You've thrown your lot in with the Lord's despised you.
Amen.
No, you've left the nations and you've come here right to Bethlehem. Now you've made a decision and you've decided.
Amen.
You made a clear cut decision. Doesn't matter about anything else. You have to forsake mother and father, houses and lands, that's okay. I feel there's a pull, there's a burden inside of me. Naomi, I feel my path and your path are predestined together.
Amen.
And that's what it says in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work.
Amen.
May the Lord give you a reward.
Amen.
And here was the Lord.
Amen.
But she didn't realize it, and he didn't fully realize it at that time either. Here was the reward.
Amen.
May the Lord recompense thy work. And a full reward be given thee.
Amen.
As the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You've come out from there and you've come under the wings of Jehovah now. You've come to the place now that Jehovah can brood upon you. He can take you under his wings now. Under his wings. The Jews, when they speak about that, they say that proselytes, when they would come, people, Gentiles, when they would come, they would say, they've come to hide themselves under the wings of his glorious Shekinah. Our friends, because when you think about the wings of the cherubim, they're overshadowing the mercy seat. And at the mercy seat, where there's the blood, and where there's the word, and there's the hidden manna, what else do you find there? There's the Shekinah. There's the glory. There's all of the dunamis that's required, all of the power that's required to turn potential in the life of a person into a reality. So she's come to this place, and the Jews, they say that, they say when you say someone's coming to take refuge under the wings of Jehovah, you've come to the mercy seat, you've come to the Shekinah glory. Just as much as the hen over chicks when danger comes and protection is needed, a storm, a tempest, a great wind, that's the first thing that they do. When the mother starts to cluck like that, the lambs sit under the wings.
Amen.
And she shelters them under the wings, and they feel completely safe under the wings of Jehovah, under the wings of their mother, the mother eagle. So she came to seek for refuge. So she brings herself under the wings of Jehovah, that worship once again.
Right.
Now she hasn't just come there to see what she can gain. She's not one of those guys who's going to be running from field to field saying, who's that richest guy that I can marry? She could have done that. She was pretty. She was single. Her husband had died. She was a widower. There were plenty of young men. Boaz will say to her that she could have married. But there was something burning inside of her soul. There was one overruling desire and deep and burden that she had, which overruled all of those other necessities of her life. So she comes now. I was thinking about when you come to the mercy seat and there were the cherubim. There's the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Yeah. And who has no one to refuge under? Who has the Lord? We are under the wings of the great eagle.
Amen.
But we've come to find refuge under the wings of the eagle.
Amen.
That great prophetic anointing at the end time. Ah, friends, may that anointing help us to bring forth that which is prophesied of us. So she comes now so that the Lord, that word also means to brood over. The Lord now, she's come to take refuge, the Lord can now brood over her. Look at Genesis 1 verse 2, the first time you find that word in the Bible, in Genesis 1 verse 2, right in the beginning, it says in Genesis 1 verse 2, the earth was without form and void. It was predestined. It was a divine attribute of the Most High. This earth, the prophets, a predestined planet. predestined unto great things, but it was barren. It was about sorrow, but it was void. It wasn't bringing forth what it was supposed to bring forth. But God had the predestined seed laying in there. The earth was like foam and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, exactly as we were.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God moved. That could say the Spirit of God brooded. So thank God. The Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the waters. The prophet says, the Spirit of God put his great wings around and made love to the earth. And started to say, come forth in that great atmosphere. And a smile came and created an atmosphere. That way to brood or to move, the Spirit of God moved or brooded. It also means to incubate. Or to hatch an egg. And the prophet tells us how many times in the message, if you take an egg, it doesn't matter where you put it, you can put it under a puppy.
That's right.
It will still bring forth because it's the atmosphere,
amen,
the warmth, that particular atmosphere that's going to bring forth whatever's inside of the egg. He was that moves that, and the only thing that was lacking in Genesis 1, verse 2, was the atmosphere.
Amen.
It needed to be overshadowed by the great Shekinah. It needed the Almighty to come with a glory cloud and overshadow this barren earth. And as well, overshadow the earth and brooded over it. And he created that atmosphere now. And the Spirit of God started to brood, started to move upon the face of the deep. You find now all those predestined seeds inside of there now, they started to come to life. All the potential that was inside of the earth, it started a process now that wasn't going to end. It was going to burn forth a paradise. It was going to burn forth an Eden now. And it needed something to start the process. There needed to be a conception. Because all of the mechanics were laying there, but it needed the dunamis. It needed the power to come and turn the potential into a manifestation. That's what it needed. And it needed to lay in the presence of the Shekinah, lay in the presence of the Son, and be overshadowed, just as much as Mary needed to be overshadowed. And the Spirit of God brooded and moved over the earth. And what did the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, do? It created a fertile atmosphere.
Amen.
That's what was lacking before. There was no fertile atmosphere. So therefore the earth remained barren of the promise. That was predestined that God saved it, was highly favored above all the planets in the universe. A privileged planet, a predestined planet. A friend, the due season needed to be brooded over. And friends, that's why when you do come for prayer, that's the kind of prayer we really desire. You know, when people can really allow the Lord to come and brood over them. When a person can come to the house of the Lord already brooded inside of themselves to say, Lord, if your presence can just come, if I could just enter into that place. Because there's darkness inside of me, Lord, there's confusion, there's barrenness. I'm not at this time inside of my life bringing forth the right kind of fruit. I can see my thoughts, I can see my words, I can see my actions. Things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. Lord, I can't change myself. But I can just bow down and yield myself unto you. And if you can come and overshadow me once again, like you've done in days and times gone by, surely there'll be a difference, Lord, in that kind of a fertile atmosphere. Because in a fertile atmosphere, every seed will bring forth of its own kind. And the seeds were already laying there, now they started to bring forth of their own kind. They started to bring forth. That's why the prophet says it's the environment that counts. It says if you're a Christian, associate with Christians. Go with Christians, be a Christian. You've got to have the right kind of an environment around you. But so many people just have the wrong environment around them. They just feed that environment all kind of questions and doubts and unnecessary things, and then they wonder, but I don't seem to be bringing forth inside of my life what I'm supposed to. It's spoken of us. I see the promises that have been made. It's the environment that's around us. So, got to go through this process. You look at how what she joined herself to the union that Ruth had. The first union she united herself with Naomi. That was a very good union that she because she surrounded herself with the right person.
That's right.
Now she really clung to the same person. And even when Naomi said, look, I'm not going to ever have any sons again. And even if I had a son, you're not going to wait for him to grow up and marry him. Rather, go back to your house. Go back to your father. Go back to your gods. That was a test of her decision.
That's right.
To see whether she was steadfast in her clear-cut decision. And when now Naomi says she wants to stay with me, she has made up her mind. Nothing's going to change her mind. That kind of a decision. Then it says that she left off trying to persuade her. And you know that Orpah was the one that went back, and you never read about it again in the annals of the records of life. She never brought forth anything beyond that, but the same thing that she did from the day that she was born. So now she comes, and what's the next thing that she unites herself together with? She unites herself together with the other gleaners in Boaz's field. She's told, now stay with the other gleaners. Stay behind the reapers. Just as the reapers are reaping, whatever's freshly been reaped at that time, there's going to be the handfuls that are dropping now. There's going to be the beginning. You just stay as close as you can behind those reapers and just glean everything that's coming fresh from the field. Ah, friends, that would be a good thing if you did that. You know, whatever's fresh in our age, whatever's freshly coming forth that's got any Shekinah inside of it, glean those things. And so we don't just leave it in the field, so take it and bind it up and take it home. And then they would take it now, they put it in the mill, whatever the pest or the mortar, and they would turn it into bread when they were home. And then they wouldn't disturb bread now, they would bake the bread, they would eat the bread, and the bread would become part of her. Most of the very things that had been reaped in the field, she allowed the food process to take place. And for that became bread, it became life and sustenance. It became a part of her. So she was really uniting herself, but she's staying under the headship of Boaz. And Boaz is still. But the final union she needs is the real one to bring forth the promise. It's fine, she's united herself with Naomi. It's good. She's united herself with the church. She's come to Boaz's field. She has the rest of the gleaners in the church. She gets on well with them. They can speak and discuss and swap their recipes and all the things which they do. But that doesn't qualify her to bring forth the promise. There's a final union that's going to be required for her to bring forth the promise. And that's union with the Lord of the harvest himself. And that's what she's predestined unto. You know, and that's a moment that we. She listens to her religion, John sees him and says, it's time for you to find rest. You've been worth deciding, worth serving. You've been so faithful in your service. The prophet says she was gleaning barefoot, yeah? And Boaz's feet. Those weary days of gleaning barefoot. It wasn't easy. It was a testing time to see, test your faithfulness, a test in the reaction to an action. And she passed the test, and as much as God wanted to reveal himself to her first, he said, no, let me wait and see. And then in due season now, Naomi ministers to him, says, tonight, it's the last night. It's the end of the harvest. The barley has already come in. Boaz is going to be down there at the threshing floor. Go down to the threshing floor, but don't just go as you are. Wash yourself. Put on your best garment. Dress yourself suitably. Anoint yourself. Put on your perfume, whatever it is that you need to put on. And then go down there to the threshing floor. And friends, the threshing floor is the house of God. Because this is where the wheat and the chaff are separated. This is where that which is beneficial and that which is vile is beaten out of the life of people. Because the word is the threshing instrument of the Most High God. You know, so she still go down there now to the threshing floor. And like I say, she just heals herself. She doesn't lean upon her own understanding. She doesn't have 20 other reasons why she shouldn't do that or why it's not convenient that day.
If you're going to leave it that night, tomorrow's too late.
That's
right. They're already threshing the wheat, the barley. But tomorrow, this is the final night, it's the feast at the end of the harvest. You just got to take advantage of the season now. It's the opportunity now for putting your ministry into this final union at the threshing floor. And so she goes down there. And what does she ask Boaz? She lays down at his feet, and Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night and follows someone by his feet. Because she's come softly, the Bible says. No, she came humbly and softly. She didn't come arrogant, demanding something from Boaz. She came softly, and she took his robe that was covering his feet, and she took the robe and covered herself. And that symbolized something. And as soon as we woke up, Ruth chapter 3, verse 9, Ruth 3, verse 9, he said, "Come now." And she answered, "I'm Ruth, thy handmaid." We always speak about the importance of the prophet says, your approach. Are you saying the right thing? This is when that woman came to Jesus, though she had a great need, and said, "Thou son of David," she never got a word. Jesus never answered her a word. Why? Because he's not son of David to the Gentiles. He's son of David to the Jews. But the moment she broke into the channel and said, "Lord, help me," should I put her attention, he put his attention upon her. She now said the right thing. And even in the end, Jesus said, "For this thing, go away."
Amen.
For this thing. And Ruth comes and says, "I'm your handmaid."
Amen.
And what was her request? "Spread therefore thy skirt." Literally, it's your wing. "Spread therefore your skirt," your wing, "over your handmaid, for thou art the Redeemer."
Amen.
You are my Redeemer. But what good is it for me to have a far off Redeemer? What good is it when you get my Redeemer when you don't have the oneness and the union between us? What good is a Redeemer when you don't have the relationship where you can express yourself as my Redeemer? What good is it? She needed to be overshadowed. She needed him to throw his skirt over. And the prophet actually says that. I'll show you the quote in a minute. He says, in Kinsman Redeemer, he says, okay, skip back a little bit in the same chapter to verse 4. And look now at the instruction she was given. Chapter 3, verse 4. "Then he said, it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie." Make sure you watch where he goes and lies down. "And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet." Feet always represent humility.
Amen.
The prophet says that the wings covering the face, reverence. Wings covering the feet of the children, humility. Moses, take off your shoes. It is a sign of humility. Uncover his feet, come and lay at his feet. And lay thee down. And say, "Will tell me what thou shalt do."
Amen.
So there's nothing you can do in yourself.
Amen.
The only thing you can do is yield. The only thing you can do when something is ministered to open the way for you. Just don't do exactly what he said.
Amen.
And the prophet says in Kings of Redeemer, paragraph 123, says, "Mark the place where he lies down." You know these quotes. He says, "Did you do it? Did you mark the place where he laid down?" He says, "On Golgotha, many years ago, I marked in my heart where he laid down his life that he might take me." Friend, there can be no redemption, no union with him, unless you have that starting point.
Amen.
That inside of your heart, you marked down, you appreciated, you took notice, you paid attention to where he laid his life down for you on Golgotha. It's got to be real to you. You've got to know where he laid down. Where he laid his life down that he might take us. Mark the place where he lies down. The prophet says, watch where he laid. That's what every believer should do. Mark what he did for you. Last Sunday's message, that day on Calvary. Go back and remember that. Mark what he did to you. He says, but when he lies down to sleep to rest, I lie down by his feet. Not his head. You've got to bring yourself under his headship.
Amen.
You're not the head. Here's the head. Here's the promise. Here's the seed of promise. He can bring forth a promise inside of your life. He can fulfill your destiny. He's the one who holds your destiny.
Amen.
So don't take the headship. And lie down at his feet. And take the blanket, the robe, that he covered, that he was covered with, and pull it over you. That's the overshadowing. The prophet says, oh, I know you may think I'm a fanatic, but that suits me just right. That Spirit of God. The same Spirit that covered him. The same one that overshadowed him on Mount Transfiguration, remember? When the glory cloud came down and overshadowed him, and all the potential that was in him shone through with immortality through his garments. Oh, friends. A type of him coming in his kingdom. The prophet says, mark where he lay at Calvary. Where he lay down in the tomb in Gethsemane. Mark, pull up to his feet. Lie down there and die to yourself. Oh, friends, if you want a resurrection in your life, if you want new hope, new purpose, new vision, the prophet says it can never be a birth without there being a death. Something has to die so that he can live.
Amen.
Yes, something's got to be laid aside so that there can be a resurrection take place inside of your life. Let it be so, saints, in this Christmas time. Let's just come to a close and just think of what he now said when she said, please, cast your robe over me. Overshadow me. That's what we'd be saying to the Lord. Lord, I want to lay myself down. I want to die to these things that are holding me back from a closer walk with you. I'm going to lay myself down in the same place where you died. Just as much as you died, I'm going to die. Just as much as you took up your cross for me, I'm going to take up my cross for you. I'm going to mark the place where you lay down. And I'm going to go lie down in the same place at your feet. The prophet says, I'm ready. Realizing it's only by grace. It's not by any good works that we've done. But in verse 9, if you go read verse 9, he said, who art thou? She answered, I'm her thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art to me a kinsman. Verse 10. And he said, watch immediately how he gets into the full spirit of redemption. She doesn't have to pull anything out of this man. The moment she puts herself at his feet and makes this redemptive claim upon him, immediately he gets into the spirit of redemption, the spirit of the goal. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord. How much he encourages you. The moment you start seeking with all your heart, see how he'll bless you spiritually. See how he'll do something to encourage you along the way. Blessed art thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou saw more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. What kindness is this? Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. What's he saying? He's saying, Ruth, I know what's inside of you. I know what's governing your life. And Ruth, you don't realize about you and I are a perfect match in peace. Because the same thing that is burning in your heart is burning in my heart. I want to show redemption to you. And you're wanting to redeem, raise up the name of your husband. You could have gone and taken somebody else's name. You could have gone to somebody who wasn't your kinsman. All those young men in the field that were proposing you, and all the other people that were saying, Ruth, you need to get married. Why don't you come and marry this guy? Why don't you go over to that field over there? There's a fine young man over there. But Ruth had one desire inside of her heart. She said, I remember my husband. And my husband had died without me bringing forth a son to continue on his name. So the greatest thing I want to raise up the name of my husband. And only I can raise up the name of my husband, I need to marry a kinsman.
Amen.
It's got to be a mere kinsman.
Right.
Who can bury me under the rock of redemption. And then the firstborn child I bring forth is not named after him, it's named after my husband. Our friend, that was a serious thing. And all those fields of grieving, all the difficulties she's going through, there were so many times she could have thought of it and said, let me just take the easy way out of this. But that word of redemption, that requirement of redemption for the love of her late husband, she wanted to redeem his name. She wanted to continue his name upon the earth. And that's why Boaz now, he says, and the Spirit comes upon him. Verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou request. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. That is a virtue that you don't just live for yourself. But the decisions you make, even though it's costing you a lot, the choice that you've made, the path that you followed, because of your love for your husband who is passed on. So, Ruth, how can I deny you such a request? How can I deny you such a request? Our friend, there's certain things that really please the Lord. Like when Sister Hattie.
Amen.
Yeah. The Lord has told me to give you a desire. What is the greatest desire that you have? What is the burning desire she had? Was redemption.
Amen.
She says, what should I ask? You can have $10,000 if you want. Her heart wasn't set on that. You can have your sister get out of that wheelchair. She wanted that, but she's still going to die again. Her parents can be turned back to young people again if you want. But if thanks to you in the resurrection, they're going to be young anyhow. But what was the thing that was burning inside of Sister Hattie's heart? Was the redemption, the salvation of the two boys. And that's her over that house. The White House. Back in the spirit of redemption. I remember we spoke of it once before. That's in Boaz now. Christ cast his robe, the third pool robe over that house. And the super anointing came down. Boaz's robe was thrown over and says, ask what you will. And then she was given that request. There's certain things, friends, when your heart is right. When your heart is set upon the things that they should be set upon, just as much as with Ruth. That's why he said, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people does know that thou art a virtuous woman. Our friends, as we think about Christmas, as we think about the Word being made flesh, there could be a Christmas in us. There's already a Christmas inside the life of the Word. The Word is already made flesh inside it. We've already birthed for so much of the promise. But there's still land to be possessed. There's still hardcore, deeper revelation. As we said, Joseph's portion was what? The deep things of the earth. But the deep things of God, and he was but the blessing of the heavens, the heavenly places was his inheritance as well. And the bride and the Joseph's inheritance, we want to possess the fullness of the deep things of God, the things stored up and reserved in heavenly places for us. So may the Lord help us as we contemplate Christmas, and the Word came forth, the little Christmas gift. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. There's a process to bring you forth the promise. And Mary had to be overshadowed. And when she was overshadowed, friends, immediately, when she was asking those questions, how can this be? And she allowed the message, the anointed message now to minister the answers to her questions, to give her mind in tune with the mind of Christ. And when everything lined up, she said, be it unto me according to it. It doesn't matter the reproach I'm going to have to bear. You know, I read one more quote that is when the prophet speaks of the reproach that she had to go through. He says, when he laid down Ruth came, he says, not ashamed, he says, to disclose, to expose herself to this man. Remember what Boaz had to say in the morning, quickly leave. And that everybody else, a woman's been on the threshing floor, it's a disgrace. But when the Word came and told her, you need to go and do this, she Not afraid of other things, but what are people going to say? But she was willing to bear the reproach of the word.
Amen.
She was willing to bear his reproach. You see, she wasn't ashamed to dispose herself to this man. Every real true born again church tonight is not ashamed to expose herself to the Holy Ghost call of God.
Amen.
No matter what people say, no matter how much people misunderstand you, no matter how much people say you're wasting your time, you're wasting your talents and your abilities, there's no higher calling than the bride.
Amen.
There's no higher favor in this life than for him to say, hey, blessed art thou, my
Lord.
You have found favor, great grace in the eyes of God. And you are going to conceive, and you are going to have supreme authority inside of you. You're going to conceive, and there's going to be a kingdom inside of you that's never going to end. And that kingdom inside of you is going to take you all the way to the throne. You're going to possess the throne of the everlasting kingdom. But we need to stay in the channel of redemption, friends, to really appreciate this. And the prophet says, when he found out that she gave that trust, when she came and trusted him, then he didn't take advantage of her on the threshing floor. He threw his robe over her. And he says, you won't have me to tell you what that means, the Holy Ghost, to cover her with his own robe. Friends, let's be seeking that. And we so appreciate God with us, Emmanuel. But Jesus said, it's expedient for you. It's necessary for you that I go away. Because there's an even greater gift that's going to come. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. The very life that's inside of me, God with me, will become God in me. And friends, let's really esteem that as we come in this Christmas time, the great gift that God has given us, the great gift of eternal life, the great gift of dunamis, the power that is put inside of you, that as you yield yourself to that power, it turns the potential inside of you to the expression. And you start seeing the manifestation of His will inside of your life. Our friends, I can't think of any greater Christmas gift than to see the work of God inside of my life, and I'm sure you desire the same. Yes, then, since I don't know what the time is because the clock's not there, what's the time? There's some music. 10 past, some good time. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's sing one song by George. Let's all pray before we go this evening. Before the Lord's laid things upon your own heart, let's pray for them that aren't here. Let's pray for Sunday service as well. Let's pray for Brother Daniel as the Lord leads him now, as he goes back now to Lithuania. And whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, let's come before the Lord. One song, and then we pray. I just want to put this request as old Carmel is asking for prayer. So, Daddy, can you pray for me? She asked her daddy for the request. Because of my nose, it's annoying me. Can you put it as a request? That's a good request. Just put that before the Lord, that the Lord will cast the robe of his promise upon Carmel and minister to him. I'm going to go to the next one.
Lord, when there's all the foolishness of this world and all the tinsel and all the other things, Lord, help us to appreciate and to fellowship with the real thing. To thank you, Lord, that the Word became flesh. But to thank you that the Word is still becoming flesh. And Lord, let your Word become flesh inside of me. And all he wants is that desire that you would say as Mary, be it unto me according to you. Let's all pray. Oh, Father. Come and close us in prayer, please, God. For the Scots. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Let's ask our Lord to close us.
Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we are so thankful to Thee for the blessing, Lord God, of the day. Father, the highlight, Lord, to be in your house. Oh, Lord, how we thank you, Lord, for your revealed word. Lord, we thank you indeed, Father God, Lord, for the greatest present of all, Lord. Father, that's you being born in our hearts. Lord, a Christmas that never ends. Father, you don't tire, you don't get weak. Father, you are ever strong, you are ever from glory to glory. And, oh, God, we appreciate and thank you, Lord, Father, for indeed, we know that it's your mercies, it's your predestinated plan that, Lord, each and every one of us here, Lord, should be partakers, Lord, even of this blessing. Father, Lord God, we ask of thee, Father, even as it's been preached through your word, that you'd put in us, Lord, the humility. Father, that, Lord God, we'd not seek our own. Father, we'd not allow, Lord, the human element. Father, Lord, to hinder, Lord, that which you'd purposed and desired for us. To be born in us, O God, but give us a yieldedness, a submissiveness, Lord. Father, even to your headship, Lord. Father God, Lord, we pray, we look to you, Father, and we trust, Lord, even as we are shown, Lord God, even in your word, that he who began the good work, Lord, you are faithful to see it through even to the end, Lord. Heavenly Father, we so much rejoice and appreciate your loving kindness, Lord. Father, for all that you've done for us, Lord, to call us in at an age and a time like this. Father, to send us, Lord, to call us under, Father, even the great white eagle, O God, even in this day. Father, what a privilege and blessing it is, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just continue to desire to walk and to bask, Lord, in that glory, Lord. Father, God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the preaching of the word, how you granted our brother grace, you anointed him. Heavenly Father, that Lord, you bring a word like this on a night like this, Father, that in the chaos of it, Lord, outside we see how everything is so commercial, Lord God, people going about Christmas, Lord, in a way that they don't even understand. No one is stopping to consider, oh God, what it means, what it is to them, Lord, what you have done for us in the way of grace. But we, Lord God, you granted us mercy, Lord, Father, that we'll be able to be in contact with thee, Father. Lord, so bless our brother, Lord God, and Father, how we desire to just remain in an atmosphere, Lord. Father, Lord God, whereby, Lord, whatever you desire to be done in this place, in this time, it will be done, Lord God, through us, Lord, Father, according to your will. Help us in these things, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, looking to you now. Father, even, Lord God, with thanksgiving for healing, Lord. Father God, Lord, the request which we put before Thee, Lord, we thank You for healing, and we continue to pray that, oh God, You'd give a full and total recovery. Lord, Father, that Your name will be exalted, it will be glorified, that, Lord, Your manifest blessings will be manifest in Your children. We pray, oh God, that even at a time like this, Lord, Father, when there's different bugs and illnesses, Lord, Father, in different ways, Lord, we see, Lord God, Father, even way back, Lord God, in Egypt, Lord, with Moses, that, oh God, in Goshen, it was light, Lord, and none of those plagues were able to come upon Your people. So we pray, Lord God, we have, Father, Lord, Your grace and mercies, Lord. So withhold those things from Your people, that we may be have strength to worship and to rejoice, Lord, and to praise Your name, Lord, is our prayer. Father, we come before Thee as well, Lord, wanting once again to bring before Thee the saints which have traveled. Lord, by the Romo and family, please be with them. We're thankful they arrived safely. But Lord, please bless them where they are. Watch over them. Keep them. May they be a blessing to the saints there, Lord, and the people they meet. Lord, and may the people there be a blessing unto them. Restore strength and give them rest, Lord, is our prayer. Father God, Lord, we look to You and bring before Thee Brother Maxwell as well. Be with him, Lord. We're thankful for what You've done so far. Father, please continue to undertake. Be with him, Lord. Be with him at the convention. Lord, even with Brother Lubanza will be there. I will ask You, Lord, that You'd overshadow the meetings. May the saints there be blessed, Lord. May all things be done well. Father, that Your name will be exalted and glorified. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we look to You, Father. Lord, even hear ourselves, Lord, as we, in anticipation for the coming meetings, Lord, on Sunday and whichever service we'd have. Father, we don't want to be present without You being there, but we ask You, Lord, that You prepare our hearts. Lord God, that we'd be ready, Lord God, to receive that anointed word, Father, that Your word would find a resting place in our souls, oh God. Please guide and lead us in this way, Lord. Father, Lord God, we pray, looking to You, Father, for the many saints who are not here tonight. Lord, You know where they are. Some have traveled even to London. We think of Brother Jose. Be with him where he is, Lord God. Father, Sister Susan, You know if she's still away, but please be merciful to her. Any others, Lord God, we pray, looking to You. Brother Daniel, our precious brother, was with us for this time. Lord, how He has given thanks for the mercies You've shown to him while he's been here. Lord, we've seen even the impact He had, Lord, on his sister from the time he was here, how she attended so much. And Lord God, we appreciate that, and we thank You, Lord, for all that He has done. Now we ask You, Lord, at the next stage, Father God, in his journey, please bless our brother, watch over him and keep him, is our prayer, Lord. Father, if there be a tomorrow, Lord God, that we'd meet with him and rejoice, Lord God, for the good times we have had in Your presence, O Lord. Heavenly Father, be with us, Lord God. Watch over us even now as we've come to the end of proceedings. Father, keep us safe as we go our different ways. Father God, watch over us, protect us, please. Father, You see how people, Lord, are so excited and dangerous out on the road, weather conditions as well. But Lord, we just place ourselves, Lord, safely in Your arms, O God. Be with us, keep us safe, Lord. Be with our families, undertake for them as well. As we pray and we commit all this to You, in Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen.
Please put one song in the sense. What have you had with Georgia? I'm going to go to the hospital.